Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Even if it kills us.
Yeah.
I procrastinated this one pretty hard.
Yeah, I was reading this as you walked in.
Really? I don't have the luxury of doing that. I have to write down some notes. So I was like fucking up late.
Wow, dude, he's fucking grinding for the pod.
And I'm just like, this is what I'm reading
right now. I didn't start reading until Monday. And I'm like, oh no.
I didn't even read on Monday, dude. It was all yesterday. Jeez. And like a little bit of this morning.
There's too much Red Sonja for one day.
Yeah.
And we weren't like in our normal routine on Monday. So it's like we had one less day to read, essentially.
Yeah.
Anyway. We got a different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Red Sonja, She-Devil with the Sword.
You're not a Sonja guy?
No, that's actually wrong.
Sonja? How do you know it's wrong?
I looked it up.
Okay.
And I started the movie. Black Matter Matters.
The movie's out.
And the poll list. Our segments, but we start with the news.
This is news to me. There's a movie?
Yeah, there's a movie from 1985.
Whoa!
It's on YouTube.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, Nathan, what news you got?
Dude, there's a lot of news. I haven't really even looked at all of it because San Diego Comic-Con happened the last weekend as we're recording this. So there's going to be some more DC Compact comics releasing in 2026.
Okay.
Did you hear about this?
Nope.
Three of them are Batman.
Three?
Three of them.
Mm-hmm.
We got Batman The Dark Knight Returns, Batman White Knight by Sean Murphy.
Okay.
And Batman Gotham by Gaslight. That's a pretty good one. I don't know how big it is.
But isn't that like 100 pages?
Then that's pretty good for a compact comic. The Dark Knight Returns is a big one.
So yeah, like, I know, but wouldn't you rather get like a thick book for $10 than a skinny book?
That's up to the reader. And then Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow is getting one.
That's good.
Yeah, so that'll be a good one, I think.
Good maxi. Or was that 8?
That was 12.
Oh. Sorry.
That's good value.
Good value.
They release in January and February.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty soon.
Yeah. There's a manga for that movie Old Boy.
Oh, really?
It's based off the manga. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And the manga is like 8 volumes. And but in January, they're releasing like omnibuses for them. So it's like 4 volumes in like one book.
Cool.
So there'll be 2 of them. Two thick boys.
That'll be cool.
For like $70.
You watched that movie.
Yeah, good movie.
You recommended it to me. I saw the list.
Yep, it's on your list.
On my list of things. On my to-do on Letterboxd.
Yeah, I think it was the only...
Have you read the manga at all?
I like bought the first volume on like the Dark Horse digital app, but that shut down and I don't know if it's still there for me to read.
You got fucking scammed.
Yeah, I know. There was a sale. I'm like, oh, sick. You know?
It seemed like it was a clearance sale.
Yeah. It was like a year before or something.
Before it shut down?
Yeah. But anyway, I didn't even write that down. I just remembered that because I was excited about it.
Nice. That's cool.
Nathan, Gen V, season 2.
Yeah.
Coming real soon.
When?
September 17th.
Dang.
Dang, buddy.
That's before my even damn wedding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's cool.
That is cool. I like that show.
Yeah, good show.
Yeah, it was like better than I thought it was going to be.
And looking back, I'm like, I think these are all new characters too. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's like better than it needed to be, I would say, too.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was cool.
It's good that like they can have like a spinoff with very little to go off of and it work.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just cool. It like fits in the universe, but you know, it doesn't feel too weird.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of new books announced, starting with Marvel, since Hickman's doing some Imperial thing. I don't even really know what that is still, but they announced some new books. In November of this year, we got Planet She-Hulk and Nova Centurion.
Mm-hmm.
And then in December, we have Black Panther Intergalactic. And then in winter 2026, we have Exiles and Imperial Guardians.
That seems far.
That is far.
Why would they announce that now?
I mean, I guess, what is it? That could be like 6 months away.
They said winter 2026.
Yeah, like January's winter.
Oh, that'd be something.
You thought they were going to doing like...
Maybe, dude.
Like next November?
Fucking maybe.
No, no, absolutely not.
I don't know. Maybe they're
do November 2025, December 2025, and then...
You think Hickman will be doing back-to-back events or whatever?
I don't think it's him writing these.
Oh.
So...
I bet it is, though.
It's not.
Anyway.
I think I saw, but I don't have the article to prove it, so...
In other new book news, Godzilla TMNT.
Whoa.
Written by Tim Seeley.
Let's go.
Coming in November.
Oh, Tim Seeley. That's cool.
Yeah.
He's the one doing the Godzilla ongoing, right?
Correct.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He's like, give me more.
Hell yeah. Give him 90 stuff.
Give me more he little creatures.
It. Yeah.
That's cool.
And then.
What are they going to do?
I don't know.
I guess they did pretty good in Mutant Mayhem with a
maybe big kaiju. Maybe they'll give him a weapon and a mask.
That would be cool.
It'd be so stupid.
Give him a shell.
Give him a green one or whatever.
That'd be sweet.
Absolute Green Arrow coming this spring.
Oh. Who's that? Who's on that?
I don't know. I didn't really look very deep into these.
Yeah, I didn't either. I'm going to look it up.
I guess that would be something that someone might be interested in.
Hornsack Pachose.
Really?
Pachoso.
Pachoso. That's good.
And artist Raphael Albuquerque.
That's a good pairing.
That's a great pairing. I mean, you should be way more excited. You were like, I don't care about this. That's great news. I love that.
Yeah, Pachoso, he's like, he was doing that thing where he's trying to do a bunch of one-shots or something for some reason.
I think that's over now.
Yeah, that's over. And I just like haven't seen him in much since then.
Yeah.
Since like...
But best known for The Good Asian, which got an Eisner like 2 years ago, I think.
Or The Good Boys?
The Good Asian?
No, the fucking dog one. Man's Best.
Man's Best, yeah.
Yeah.
That was him with Jesse Lonergan.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. It's going to be a... It's only scheduled to be a 6-issue miniseries. So I think that's good, too.
Okay.
To have it be like long going, I think, is kind of tough.
Right.
But that's great. I love to hear that. Dana Ultimate Spider-Man is ending.
Yeah, I saw that.
Issue 24. So that means there's an end in sight. Maybe I should pick it up again. I have like 9 or 10, I think.
Isn't it on like 18 or something?
Yeah, I think so. But you're when trying that to catch ends, up? Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Everything I've read is good.
I think your ambitions are...
I do still need to catch up on Batman.
A bit of a stretch.
Like all Chip Zdarsky Batman.
Like you're going to have to just buy him digitally, you know?
I will.
Yeah.
But... when Ultimate Spider-Man ends, Ultimate Endgame is going to come out, which is, I guess, going to be connecting all the Ultimate books somehow. Like now, and that was always the plan.
Naturally.
And Endgame, Daniel. Remember that? That was a thing.
The movie.
That was pretty big. The movie?
Yeah, they're doing it again.
Now they're doing it again. So, who knows?
All right.
Yeah, I don't really care too much about that. But Hickman's writing it. Or no, Denise Camp is writing it. I don't know how that happened. Because I think Hickman started this whole shit, didn't he?
Huh.
I don't know who's on art.
Nathan, something is killing the children.
Really?
That book.
Oh, okay.
I guess they have been contracted to go up to 100 issues.
Whoa.
Something is killing the children.
They still haven't found it?
Nope. They're not sure who's doing it.
I was surprised it's been going for as long as it has. Because it's probably in like the 30s, right? You think
you would have... dropped off at like 20 or something.
Yeah, but people like it though. Even like the spinoffs people seem to like. So that's good.
Yeah, good. What's it at now? Something
I would guess like 37.
Issue 42 just came out.
Ooh, I was close. Damn, that's long though. 100 issues.
Including a zero issue. Yeah, so they're like halfway there.
Oh my god.
They almost caught up to Saga.
I know. They're gonna beat Saga.
Dang.
Isn't that crazy?
They'll get to the end of Saga before Saga.
When does Saga start?
Long time.
Like 2003 or some shit?
2012, maybe.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think. That sounds right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep, 2012. Get wrecked.
Wow. Good job.
Nathan, you know Capes? The comic series Capes?
No.
It's referring to, I think it's Capes Incorporated or something.
Sounds good.
And that's like the Heroes for Hire-esque organization in the Invincible universe.
Oh, okay. Are they getting a thing?
They're getting reprinted and getting new issues.
New issues?
Yeah, announced by Robert Kirkman.
Kirkman writing it?
I think so.
Ooh.
And then there's a guy that's on it. Mark Ingley or something?
Who's on capes in the universe?
Oh, fucking... It's like everybody, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's how, like, people kind of...
That's like their Justice League Unlimited.
Kind of. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I've read any of it, but I do remember capes, like, popping up and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, the just, like, the transition in art was, like, a bummer for me at the time. Oh,
totally. Yeah.
And I just, like, couldn't really, like, muscle through it.
That's fair.
Even, like, the Invincible Universe stuff I didn't finish, you know?
Yeah.
But...
We did Wolfman.
No, that was cool, though.
That was cool. You're right.
Anyway, and then Eisner winners.
Eisner's. I haven't even looked at this, dude.
Dude, you're doing a blind reaction?
Blind reaction right now. I have it pulled up.
You have it pulled up?
Okay. I have it pulled up, so I'm going to just scroll through it. Yeah, Eisner's happen. If you don't know, get out. Okay? Let's get into it.
The Oscars for comics. Let's go.
You got to explain it. I just like this article because it was like, Eisner Awards revealed shocking upsets. And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to be the case, but... Best continuing series, it was The Santos Sisters by Greg and Fake, Graham Smith, Dave Landsberger, and Mark Kopernarov. I'm not going to say all the names, actually, every time. That's a lot of names.
That's good.
But that beat out Ryan North, Fantastic Four, Ultimate Spider-Man, Wonder Woman by Tom King, Department of Truth. So that's crazy. We were going to read that, too.
Yep.
And we didn't. Best limited.
Nathan didn't know what it was.
I didn't know what it was. Well, I looked at it, and I was like... Looks dumb. Don't want to read it. Best limited series was to Zatanna Bring Down the House by Marika Tamaki, Javier Rodriguez. That's what I thought was going to win, or that's what I hoped would win,
mm-hmm.
but didn't think it would. And it's good, so we should read it.
Love an underdog.
That beat out Alan Scott, The Green Lantern, and beat out Animal Pound, The Deviant, Helena Windhorn.
Yeah, fuck The Deviant.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I just didn't like the release schedule.
Yep. Best new series, we got Absolute Wonder Woman by Kelly Thompson, Hayden Sherman. That's cool. That's one I kind of wanted to win too, and it is good, and we should read it. But that beat out.
Oh my gosh, shut up.
Uncanny Valley, which we read a couple weeks ago, was pretty good. I would have been happy with that one too. Beat out Absolute Batman, Power Fantasy, Minor Arcana.
What one?
This is best new series.
Okay.
I'm going to skip a few. Best single issue one shot, The War on Gaza, beating out Ice Cream Man. Pee Pee Poo Poo number one.
Boo.
Unwholesome Love. Some stuff like that. We don't care about publications for kids or teens or humor publications because Chip Zdarsky didn't win. Is that the one that he was on?
No, it was like...
That was a different one. Like some news thing, right?
Yeah.
Best Anthology, Godzilla's 70th Anniversary. And that's kind of neat.
Huh. Any notable...
Other ones nominees? Were the EC Cruel Universe. Is that horror one?
Yeah, the horror, like, space one. That was cool. I got the first one of that. Okay,
yeah, that would have been cool, that one. But I don't recognize the other ones.
Okay.
Don't care, don't care, don't care. Like, best U.S. edition of international material?
Yeah, what's that?
Come on. Oh, what? Which one won?
Yeah, yeah.
The jellyfish?
Oh, no, do the Asia one.
Oh, best U.S. edition of international material, Asia, Tokyo These Days.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking that another one was going to win.
Which one?
Search and Destroy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one was sick.
What was that? Just a Fantagraphics thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice, nice. Jeff Smith won an Eisner for Best Archival Collection Project of Strips.
Oh, yeah. And
his Thorn.
Thorn is like...
Is that Africa one?
No, that's like the... A lot of the original, like, drawings and designs for Bone...
Oh, okay.
And there's just a bunch of old shit. That sounds cool. There. Yeah, no, there's a Kickstarter for it. I brought it up on our news.
That's cool. I forget.
Yeah, it's all right, though.
Best Archival Collection Project. David Mazzucchelli won with his Batman Year One Artist Edition.
Oh, cool.
That's kind of neat. Best Writer. We got Jean Luen Yang for Lunar New Year Love Story, beating out James Tynion, Kelly Thompson, Rom V, Tom King. That's crazy. Best writer slash artist is Charles Burns for comics from Fantagraphics, Final Cut, Unwholesome Love, and he beat out, actually I don't even really know any of these people, but My Favorite Thing is Monsters, that's Emile Ferris.
Yeah.
Beat that one out. Best penciler inker, we have Bilquis Evely for Helena Windhorn, beating out Nick Dragotta for Absolute Batman, Felipe Andrade for Rare Flavors, Javier Rodriguez for Bring Down the House. But Helena Windhorn, I mean, Bilquis Evely is pretty dope.
I just guessed Bilkis. That's how I like say it in my head, but
Bilkis sounds right. Yeah. Best painter, Eduardo Risso for The Blood Brothers Mother. That's pretty cool.
Really?
He's a painter on that shit?
I guess.
Best painter / multimedia artist, whatever that means. Huh. But that's cool. Good for him. We got to check that out. That's a distillery book.
Yeah. That's the one with Brian Azzarello.
Yep.
Because they do like everything together, I think.
Best cover artist is Tula Lote for Helena Windhorn and a bunch of other stuff. But it beat out Evan Cagle, unfortunately. Bilkis Evely, Hayden Sherman, Junie Ba, all goats in their own respect.
Tula Lote is really good, though.
Yeah, she's good. She's good. Best coloring. I'll give you three guesses. Who won? I'll give you one guess on who won.
Matt Hollingsworth.
Nope. He wasn't even nominated. He sucks this year.
I'm kind of blanking. I haven't been thinking about colors lately.
Always colors. Like, here, I'll give you some of her. Some of the series that this person has worked on.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think I got it.
They might have slipped. Starts with a J.
Shut up. Yeah, fucking give it to me.
Jordi Belair. Yeah.
That's not who I was trying to think of, actually. So.
Oh, okay.
Jordi Belair is really good, though.
Yeah, she got it for Absolute Wonder Woman, Birds of Prey, John Constantine, Hellblazer, Dead in America.
I was thinking of Tamara Bonvillain. That's who I...
Oh, she's good, too. I like her. World Tree. Duke, apparently she was on. So she won that, beating out Matheus Lopez, Javier Rodriguez, Dave Stewart. So good honor. Best lettering.
Do you have a favorite color?
She's pretty good. Probably like, yeah, Jordi Belair or Matt Hollingsworth.
Are you finished?
No. Fuck, I lost the tab. 1 second.
Oh.
Best lettering, Clayton Calles.
And nice. Now we're done. Oh, he was our best letterer last year.
Good.
Yeah. Dude, we know ball.
We do know ball. I think I was kind of cooking this year because a lot of Absolute Wonder Woman stuff won.
Batman stuff won. You had Zatanna as best new DC. Or we did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I indeed was cooking. I made you do that, too.
That's because I didn't have anything better. Then,
but you didn't want... Yeah, you didn't have anything better.
I read Zatanna number one. I knew that was good, you know?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Anyway.
So cool. Congrats to all those people. Dan, what do we read this week?
Nathan, I know I ask you that, but I'll answer.
We're flipping the script.
We got Red Sonja, She-Devil with a Sword. This is from the 2005 run. This is the first run with Dynamite.
Okay. Because
before, I guess it was with Marvel sometimes, and it bounced around or whatever.
Okay. Nice.
So, based on the heroine created by Robert E. Howard.
Also dedicated to him. Did he die?
It must have.
It was written by Michael Avon Oeming and Mike Carey. The art by Mel Ruby and tons of colorists. But Brian Buccellato is one of them.
Wow.
Are you familiar?
The writer?
The writer.
Wow.
I guess he colored issue 5 of this.
All right.
Probably my least favorite issue. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I can't remember. He did fine.
I really didn't notice, honestly.
Yeah. I was like looking through him and I was like, I wonder if there's anybody on here, but it's weird because some people colored issues 0 through 6, and then there's also colors for individual issues. So I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, maybe that was other people just did fill in pages.
So you looked up best Red Sonja.
No.
And this is what you got?
I looked up Red Sonja.
And someone recommended this?
Someone said, I think it was like Red Sonja for new readers.
Mm.
So new readers to Red Sonja. So it would be like a good starting place to kind of understand,
I suppose,
what Red Sonja's about.
I actually don't think it does. She kind of just walks around, gets into a shitty situation.
A skirmish.
And then she leaves. And like, there's like some captions about what she did before. So it's not like origin or anything. She's just walking around.
Well, it's not the trade itself in its entirety, not a great, you know, stepping point, but maybe if you like were binging it, you know, you'll get all the clues. You can't get everything that you want to know in like the first trade.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
Because I think this was like a, I don't know, like a 80 issue run or something.
Oh my god!
I don't know if everyone, all the same creators or whatever, but it went up
probably not
80-ish or whatever.
Well, I thought this was not great. I don't know.
No,
I just feel like whatever about it. I feel like this is what people think comics are all the time. You know what I mean?
Explain.
I think this is what, like, if people imagine themselves reading a story in a comic book, it's just about some person that gets into a situation and just fights everybody and is always unscathed after that fight. And, like, there's not a whole lot of sustenance to it. Because this is just, like, Red Sonja's walking around. She fights some people. She stops an evil dictator-type dude. And then she's, like, on to the next thing.
Yeah, it felt... It reminded me a lot of, like, Tarna.
This is definitely Tarna, but, like, a little bit better.
But I... Maybe Tarna was more, like, a ripoff of, like, Red Sonja.
Yeah.
And it definitely feels like a Conan comic that I've read. Because it's, like... You know, they're just, like, in the... Somewhere.
Yeah, they're just somewhere, you know? And they're fighting to help some people.
And they keep talking about, like, oh, we've heard tales of the Red Sonja. And she, like, fights and stuff, and she wins. But I'm like, I don't think it's, like, anything, I'm never like crazy. Yeah. To where, like, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't...
Is this Brain Rot comics?
No, I wouldn't say
that. Because it moves pretty fast.
It does move fast, but you're at least getting, like, some world building. You get, like, certain tribes of people. There's, like, some dark magic stuff in here.
Sure.
Some possession. It's just, like, kind of simple.
I think maybe simple could be good if you're, like...
I feel like Tarna's more brain rot.
Yeah.
But I hate to call anything brain rot.
But that's what... I mean, I don't know. What's, like, the most brain rot comic?
Scooby-Doo Apocalypse.
That's not brain rot. That's, like...
I just hated it.
That just, like, was not...
Red Hulk?
Red Hulk, maybe.
Red Hulk is definitely brain rot. Because it's just like, here's Red Hulk, he's big, he's smashing stuff. Oh my God, the thing is here now. Isn't that crazy?
That's funny. There's no fucking issue breaks again.
Yeah, well, there's like two, which is weird.
There's some where they just have the same page, but like in a black and white or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, threw off my momentum and I had to look up all the pages.
Yeah, where they were. I appreciate you did that.
We got a map.
That's cool. I kind of like a map.
I like a map, but I think they're just in one place the whole time. So I don't...
Yeah, we don't need to know where Shem is.
I don't even know where our story is.
Yeah, they don't even tell us.
Is it Gathia or something?
It's at a small castle called Gathia, but I don't think that's what the area is
called. Where the fuck is that on the map?
If there's no Gathia, I'm gonna lose my shit.
Did they just fuck with us? They have a place called... Asgard.
This looks like Africa flipped. There's Samaria. We know that.
We do?
Yeah, isn't that where... Isn't Conan a Samarian?
Why would you know that?
Because I know Ball.
You don't know Ball about Conan?
Yeah, I do. He's a Samarian.
A Samaritan, look it
up,
maybe?
No, look it up.
Why would you know that?
I will bet you money.
How do you know that?
Because that... I just... Because it might be called Cimmeria, but I'm pretty sure it's Samaria. I don't know why I know this dude, but I do.
All right.
I'll put my whole ass out for this.
Really?
Yeah.
Shake bet?
I'll shake bet you right now.
No. I don't like your confidence.
Okay.
I'm not going into that. It's just me guessing that you're wrong.
I think Jason Aaron did like a Conan the Cimmerian or something like that.
Oh, I have his Conan book.
Yeah. What is it called? Where is it? What is that called?
Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, damn it.
It just says the life and death of Conan.
Is Conan...
Oh, Cimmerian?
Yeah.
Cimmerian?
Yeah, but it's on this map, Cimmeria.
All right. I need to read this.
Yeah, you do. But yeah, he's Cimmerian. So okay. So
out of print.
Yeah, okay.
You can't have it. I mean, you can borrow it. They can't have it. They'll find it.
So this is a spinoff of Conan.
So it's not. I thought it was. I told you that, and I was wrong.
You lied?
I took a screenshot of something I Googled. Red Sonja is not a sequel to Conan the Barbarian. As a character, Red Sonja is only loosely based on Robert E. Howard's Red Sonja of Ragatino. Even though Conan was supposed to appear in the Red Sonja movie, Schwarzenegger merely played a character of Lord Calidor, a Conan type of hero.
What?
Yeah, so...
He's not Conan in that movie?
No.
I thought that was the whole thing.
No.
Whoa.
So, the studio didn't have the rights to Conan's name, but yeah, Red Sonja is not a sequel to Conan.
That's crazy.
It would probably be cooler if it was. There is like a Red Sonja Conan crossover book.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover. What do
they do? Just get into more fights and not get hurt from it?
Yeah, I saw a Spider-Man and Red Sonja book.
What the hell?
That seems crazy.
That seems better.
Yeah.
I
think currently coming out is Red Sonja versus the Army of Darkness, which is cool.
I would be more interested in that, maybe.
And then what was the other one I saw? It was like Red Sonja and Barbarella versus Betty and Veronica or something like that.
I like that, actually.
And I'm like, what?
They need to like crossover things to make them interesting, I feel like, because like
with these Dynamite like characters, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think for us, like not knowing this, I think this is kind of where you would go. You'd start, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is a fine starting point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the Gail Simone one is really good, but that's like, I guess he changes some lore. So I don't know if that's like where you want to start is where the change is.
Yeah, true.
This is a good change, you know, but. Mm-hmm.
I just looked through this whole map and there's no Gothia or Gathia or wherever this takes place. So this is lame.
Hold on.
Why even a map? You're not going to find it. I was just looking that whole time.
They say, and I'm not looking at the map. I'm looking at the panels.
Oh.
Like the captions. Maybe there's like details.
There's a place called Kush.
Kush? Let's go there.
Yeah, I know. What's over there?
Anyway.
I'd read that book.
Just go to issue one.
Okay. So Red Sonja is like walking around with your horse. Her name is Thorn with an E. She named that horse?
Real quick.
That's the lore I need to know.
Thorn? Do you like that name for a horse?
I think it's good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. But with an E at the end, I'm like, what are you doing?
Dude, but what I thought
was... Is it Thorny?
Thorn. Nah. Just Thorn.
Yeah, just Thorn.
She's like bribing her horse with bitches.
I do like that.
He's like...
That was a strong start.
Do you remember our bargain? Hot mare for you when we get to our next stop inside the city walls?
Wingman.
And I'm like, God damn.
You're going to get your horse some puss? Some mare puss. That's good.
Is that what?
I don't know.
Is that like the opposite of steed or something?
Some steed? If it was a gay horse.
Well, yeah. Like, no. Like, Thorn is a steed, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then a mare is the opposite of that?
I don't know. I don't know horse stuff.
You don't know equestrian ball?
I don't know equestrian ball, no.
Mm. All right.
But keep going. She discovers a messenger from Gothia is being attacked by the men he was trying to deliver a message to, some people of the Zed tribe. So Red Sonja saves him and rides with him back to his city, Gothia. The messenger dies because some black magic happens randomly and Red Sonja cuts his head off. And then he delivers the headless messenger to Gothia and their people don't believe her story about what happened and they start attacking her.
So
it's raining here. Her hair never gets wet. It rains a couple times and her hair is wet. Nah, it doesn't look wet.
Yeah, it looks like dark.
I mean, rain doesn't make your hair dark.
I guess it got, well, maybe not our hair, but.
You're telling me this is wet. That looks flowy and luscious.
Well, that's because she's running.
No.
What about this panel? Where it's wet.
Do you see that? You're just trying to find one now.
Look how wet it looks. There's even a little water.
There's water on her head, but she's got like hydrophobic water. Or she got hydrophobic hair.
Maybe she's got really good.
Is that product. Part of her lore?
Dude.
I don't know.
I know what you're doing.
I'm just kidding.
They have a little bit of origin for her armor.
Yeah, they do a Moon Knight.
The armor is to distract her enemies, which is normally men.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'm in.
I'm like, it's enough, I guess.
I agree.
It's enough to like tell a reader, like, just deal with it. Like, she knows it's kind of dumb.
There's a point.
But there's a point. It's like the Moon Knight dressing in all white because he wants to see his enemies coming. Like, they give it like
why?
He dresses on in all white because he wants to see his enemies coming. Or he wants his enemies to see him coming. Sorry.
Not just to be the opposite of Batman? Yeah,
that was in the Declan Shelby run.
This messenger, he's like getting some water from like a spring or whatever. And, you know, he thinks that like there's no bad things in this city, including this stream. But when he drinks it, he has this crazy like stomach worm.
Yeah.
That just like, it's almost like a plant looking thing that starts coming out of his mouth. And it's very gross.
He like grabs Red Sonja. She just like cut off his head to do it. It's kind of crazy. And so, like, I thought there was going to be more of this. And I'm like, this is interesting.
Yeah,
and
like, here we go. Like,
there's, like, some black magic stuff, but the rest of it's kind of just warrior stuff.
Yeah.
Which I think is less interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an Elden Ring person, this is, like, death blight. Happens to you when you get too much death blight. There's, like, some fucking plants and shit that come out of your body and you die.
Mm.
But I think it's funny that he was about to get his head cut off when he was delivering that message. And then Red Sonja saves him. And then he drinks some bad water. And then she cuts his head off.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny.
It looks like if like Swamp Thing was like,
yeah, true.
Coming out of like
some Swamp Thing.
He was coming out of some broccoli that you ate or something.
Yeah, looks like that.
And so they go to this castle of Gathia, pretty sick castle.
It looks good.
This double spray spread is very impressive.
Yeah, I like that.
It
good establishes
scale and works well.
Yeah, the scale is good. You're right. I feel like you have to be really good at anatomy to draw a Red Sonja book, because like the way that her core bends and stuff during certain fight scenes. Like, you have to be really good at drawing abs.
Yeah. Abs at different angles.
Yeah. And I guess, like, back shading, you know, towards the ass area. You don't really see that a whole lot, but she's got
the little dimples or whatever.
Yeah, she's got, like, back dimples, so you got to be good at drawing that. But, like, look at this, like, panel where she's, like, winding up a swing from her sword. And, like, you have to be pretty good at, like, you know, how the body twists and stuff.
So yeah,
I do appreciate that this artist is good at that. But issue two, Red Sonja is like defending herself from the men that are attacking her at Gothia. She gets pushed into a pit where she needs to defend herself from a giant ogre that's in there. So they do like a Star Wars type thing. And she manages to kill the ogre, which gets the attention of the king or whoever's ruling Gothia. And he demands the priest to get her so that they can bang. He wants to bang her because he's impressed.
Yeah.
And so Red Sonja, now in chains, refuses to fuck the king and gets stabbed by the priest in front of an audience of Gathians.
So the horse dies.
Horse dies, Thorn dies, which sucks. Does that make it a bad book?
Bad book? Not really.
I like the name.
I forgot it happened.
I did too.
Until we came across it again. I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, she had a horse.
Poor Thorn. He didn't deserve that.
So when she's like fighting this ogre thing.
Yeah.
She like lights some skulls on fire that were in there.
Don't know how she did that.
And
or there was like
swinging around with a rope.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that burn the rope?
Pretty good rope, I guess.
Yeah. Comic book logic.
She catches only the ogre's head on fire. Maybe because there's like hair.
Yeah.
But what I like is that she took a broken sword and like kind of lined it up with the dude's head and then hammered it into the ogre's head with like a skull.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's pretty cool.
There we go.
That's some fun action.
Mm-hmm.
And then she does a lot of stuff with broken swords, or at least twice in this book. So I think that's funny.
Right. And so I didn't pick up that dude was a king. I thought it was more he was like a ruler. Prophet or something.
I think he's a prophet, but he kind of rules over the whole town.
He's only ruling because of like
he's
religion, you know.
He's
built himself up.
Yeah, it's not like a political like king. It's definitely like a ruler who just kind of took over. But yeah.
And we don't, like, see them for, like, a while.
No, we don't.
And then she gets, like, fucking sacrificed.
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to fuck the dude. And so she gets stabbed. And I'm like...
See a bit of her morals here. You know, she's getting, like, cleaned up by some slave or whatever. She's like, you're not a slave. These men are just men.
Yeah.
You know?
She's like, let me teach you.
She doesn't believe in shit. Yeah.
So she... Issue three, Sonja ends up still being alive, and she's taken to a rebel camp because the priest dude used a magic dagger that like mimics death, but doesn't fully kill you. But to keep Sonja alive, she has to return the magic knife to its like idol statue. And so Sonja takes a team of like four rebels that she like just met to travel a few days to the idol to return the knife. When she takes the idol, or when she takes the knife out to return it to the idol, one of the rebels like double crosses them and kills members of the team before Sonja uses the knife to kill her. And then the last rebel, Osen, like, saves Sonja. And when they're, like, walking back and are like, that was crazy, they walk into Zeta territory, which is the group of people from the first issue. So I like this idea of, like, a magic knife that you have to, like, keep inside of you.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. But I don't know how... I don't know how she got saved. Also, they do this thing where it's like,
so like in order
get a ragtag group, you know, but we don't really learn any of their names really.
Yeah.
And they just like immediately die. So I'm like,
I don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
We get some nip in this issue.
That's always good.
Yeah. It's like, they don't commit fully. There's like a silhouette of nip at some point, but in this one, she's like wearing something pretty sheer. I would say, and you just kind of see a darkened circle behind it.
We'll take what we can get.
Yeah.
They killed a baby in this issue.
Oh, yeah. So there's a dam that someone from Gothia like breaks. And so the flood.
It's the prophet, dude.
Is it that dude,
though? Yeah.
Okay. I think it's his new priest.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. They like flood Zeta territory, which is like this tribe. But yeah, it definitely. The way that they do it is kind of funny because they just kind of look off in the distance and then the next panel, they're like completely flooded. And so it makes it seem like it happens like way faster than it should have, which is kind of funny in my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a baby and some women that get killed in this. So the Zeta people are mad. That's crazy, though.
Because this is edgy or whatever.
Do you think that's what they're trying to do? Or do you think they're just trying to make it seem devastating? Because I don't see it
like both.
I think if they're trying to be edgy, they'd maybe focus a little bit more on like the baby. But
the baby's floating in the water.
Yeah, he is.
And then I think like two more babies like die like in this.
There are
book.
Some kids that die in this
it's,
book.
It's like fucked up.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Like, I don't think that adds anything.
No, it's just like, wow, that's
it's
weird.
It's not gonna save this book.
Yeah.
Anyway. True. She gets stabbed or whatever, and she has to hold it in her until they get to the statue, and that's when she can take it out.
She has like some bandages on her that hold it in.
Yeah.
It's not like her doing it. But yeah, they have to bring it back to like this idol, I guess, to return the knife. And they have to do it like in a certain amount of time.
Passes out, but where's her top go? Like, where?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna bring. So Osen like saves her, but the wound that he had to dress was like on her shoulder, like way above her chest. But when she wakes up, she's got no top on. So yeah. Osen, I think, is a little bit freaky. He's taking advantage of the situation a little bit.
Yeah, all right.
So yeah, issue 4. So the Zeta people join the rebel sort of squad after they got flooded out, and they devise a plan to take Gothia. I don't know where there's a so they do like a diversion attack at the main gate while Sonya, Osen, and the Zeta like leader enter the castle secretly. Sonya's team fights their way through some men, and then they run into a chamber of kids that are like possessed by like demons or dark magic or something.
And they go order 66 on the bitches.
They do. They're like, oh shit, we got some kids.
Be like, we can't kill the kids, but it's okay, they're possessed.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
So it's fine.
I forgot about this
bit. It's fine, you can chop them in half, which they do next issue. But it's very lucky that there was some magic tree or something that grew into the castle, which created a hole that they could enter.
Yeah, a giant tree that like grows through these huge bricks.
Yeah.
They probably should have done something about that hole like a long time ago.
Yeah, patch it up.
If it had time to grow into it, they had time to fix it.
You can't cut it off like as it's growing into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like burn it and then
just fill in the blanks.
Yeah. So that was pretty lucky. They kind of skim over that, but it's a wild coincidence that was there.
Right.
There's like a quick fight between the old Zeta leader who doesn't want to be led by a woman and Sonya, which lasts like 3 panels. That guy gets swept in like one move.
Yeah.
So I think that's funny. He like jumps on her and then they do a flip and he's like dead because she stabs him.
She has a thing where she'd only give a chance to somebody who can beat her in battle.
Yeah.
So Osen just throws a swing at her.
He tries to sucker punch her. It's crazy.
Yeah, but she blocks in, disarms him pretty quickly.
Yeah. And then he's like, well, I tried.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't do any other advances. So I'm like, respect.
Yeah. Shooter's got to shoot, you know?
Yeah, true. Shoot your shot. Punch a woman. So, issue 5, they discover the children are like demons, so they just rip through them.
Just slice them in half.
They're chopping them up.
Every which way.
Yep, chopping them up, slicing them in half. And then they run into their next challenge, running up the tower, which is a big serpent with like pretty good armor, scale armor. It grabs Osen and Sonya. Borg, who's like the Zeta guy, sacrifices himself. Because he like gets bitten, but then stabs the serpent in the eye, making it fall off the tower. And then the Zeta people make it inside the city or the castle, and they find like a dungeon of like Zeta slaves to free. And Sonya and Osen find the prophet dude, and they're ready to square up with him. But he's in like golden armor now, so he's ready to fight.
So this serpent thing is like a He's like a pit bull viper or something.
Has he got a pit bull face? Oh, he kind of does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's got like pit bull ears.
But also has like the viper kind of like...
He's got the cobra
flaps or whatever.
Cobra flaps.
Is that what it... Cobra? That's what I meant.
I think cobras have that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even notice the pit bull ears.
It was mostly the snout that I noticed.
Yeah, it's pretty pit bull snout too. Wow.
And I just thought that was an interesting combo.
Do you think his ears
combo.
Were cropped?
It looks like they were. I'm like, that's not how natural, like, who cropped these ears?
Yeah, you know? I know. who's is it a breeder of this kind of snake?
Maybe. It's a pretty gross looking...
This is like, a veiny snake.
Yeah, it looks like a dick.
It's got a big vein down the middle.
This boner snake.
Yeah.
Metal armor looks cool.
They have, armor. They have no problem killing the kids. I just got to bring that up again. They're like, oh, demons?
Yeah, there's a lot of pretty brutal ways to kill a kid.
Yeah, they seemed like pretty...
They could
pretty
do down. The swift stab to the heart or whatever.
Yeah, like make it, you know, at least so you can identify the bodies after. But someone gets stabbed like up through the chin and out through the head and cut in half.
I'm sure there's ways to like exercise them or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, they're just like...
They're like, I guess we'll kill them.
Let's just stab them through the face.
Yep. We see this prophet dude in golden armor. And the only art critique I have of this is
the crotch.
His legs look way too long and his torso is like a little bit short.
You know, some people might be built that way.
They might be.
Or maybe like...
Just, like look at how long...
Maybe just like the thigh armor is long like that, but his crotch is actually lower than that.
That could be the case.
Like you might not have like a codpiece.
It'd be a silly design, but yeah.
Yeah.
So issue 6, the king... Or the prophet dude reveals himself to be Azeta himself. And he's got the power of a god named Borat Nafori.
So is
I thought that was his name, but that's the god.
Is Zeta like a person or is that a type of...
Zeta is like the cavemen looking people.
Okay, okay.
So he's one of them. That's like a big reveal, I think.
But one of the like rebels and like... Or like was one in of the other community.
Yeah, he was in of that tribe.
But he's like the prophet guy.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
And he's like a servant of a god named Borat Nafori, I think.
Nice pronunciation, dude.
Yeah, I have put a little
fictional accent on it.
A little stank in there. If this is like a shitty movie, I imagine that that's how they would pronounce it.
Yeah.
So Sonya like cuts off his arm, which like, why do you have gold medal if your arm's going to get cut off like that? And she like nearly kicks him off the top of the tower. He's holding on by one hand, and the king uses like some blood powers to grab Sonya with some blood.
Yeah, he's like,
and
a
then
Osen's
like, that's crazy. So he throws a knife into the prophet's head, and they all fall into some water, which is like down below, which kills Osen and the prophet dude. Sonya's fine though, and Sonya now has freed the Gathia people from their tyrant, but the Zeta have just like been killing innocent civilians in the process, and she's like, well, if that's what they want to do. They could do that. And then she just like leaves and she's like, I'm gonna look for the next servant of this Borat Nafori guy. And then she just like leaves. There's people like killing innocents in this town. She's like, well, I did what I was supposed to do. And then like,
yeah.
Leaves. So I don't know what that's about because the Zetas like start killing women and children.
Yeah, more babies.
Yeah,
more
babies. More babies. You're right. Yeah. That's like three instances where a baby has been killed.
Yeah. So if that's not your jam.
Yeah.
Wouldn't recommend this.
Yeah, a couple things. The prophet's sword like charges up.
Yeah, he's got like a lightsaber.
I don't know why. They don't really tell you why. It doesn't seem that special either because it doesn't give him an advantage.
It's God's grace.
I guess so. But there's like a couple pages where Sonya's kind of getting her ass beat. She gets like kicked like down and stuff. And Osen's like in the room, but he is not intervening at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's kind of funny.
There's a splash page where Red Sonja is like stabbing the dude. He says, shut up and die. I love this one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's like a caption dropped where Sonja's saying that she got her skills from like a goddess or something.
Yeah, I think that's some lore maybe.
That was like weird because like we've said, it doesn't seem like she's that great of like a fighter. She is winning.
She wins a lot. Maybe she's just like more invulnerable.
Maybe.
Because we don't ever see Osen's body, but he's like dead, presumably.
Well.
But like the fall killed him.
I'm sure he comes back.
And she's fine. Like not even a scratch.
Like,
you know.
Well, he has like a special knife thing that's like on like a rock. as if it was like left there.
I think that's just where it fell.
Maybe. Anyway. And
so she kind of runs up. She follows like the slave girl from before who's just leaving to go sacrifice herself somewhere else.
Like she's got to go to like another prophet.
Another servant to the god.
Sacrifice.
Yeah. And so Sonya just follows her. She's like, ah, everything's good here now. Which leads us to like, well, this is kind of like the end of the arc, it feels like. And then there's another issue, which is.
That's like a zero issue.
This is the zero issue?
Yeah.
But this is after everything.
Sometimes they just throw in a zero issue. Just because.
Well, that's great.
Well, and it's never. Sometimes they'll have a zero issue.
Comes after issue six.
Yeah, sometimes I have a zero issue and then one, and zero issues is kind of like a weird origin thing.
Mm.
This didn't seem like
this
much.
This wasn't either. But it's kind of like a smaller issue. She follows one of that Gathia slave to another town where she is looking to sacrifice herself to the next servant of the god. Sonya gets drunk at a bar and falls asleep, and then she's ambushed by some men and then kills them all and then burns down the town. So that's two towns that she's fucked up now. But that's pretty much the whole issue.
The fighting seems more impressive here because she's like 3-on-1, you know?
Yeah, this is a much better display of like what she can do and like how kind of tactical she is, because there's some people shooting arrows at her and she takes the table that she was falling asleep at and like uses it as a shield.
The fire in this looks really good.
Yeah, good fire, good texture on it. But that was pretty much it. Why even include this in the trade? I don't know.
Maybe like at 6, they wanted more people to like read or something, and they thought a zero issue. No, that doesn't make sense either.
Yeah, see?
I guess, well, this could be this like a starting point for a story.
Did they renumber after this?
No, there's 7 and stuff.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm sure someone in comics marketing has like, there's maybe like a rule of thumb of where to put zero issues.
Yeah.
Because zero issues never seem, they're almost like annuals.
Yeah. Or I guess they give you some context, maybe. If it's like a long ongoing.
Did you get some context from this?
No.
Okay. Well, let's get into Backmatter Matters.
Backmatter Matters.
How do they get so many good people to do covers?
Well, Sonya's like...
pretty popular, I know.
It's like a kind of like a Bronze Age kind of character.
Yeah.
So it's like well-known enough. And it was like at Marvel, you know, so... I think people sign on for like the character, you know, just doing a cover.
Yeah, it's true. But so we got some.
Is
like,
this like a shit ton of back banner?
Yeah.
Is this like our biggest back banner?
It's like, no. I mean, it's like 40. It's probably the most variant covers we've gotten.
So,
but there's like.
Back banner starts at like page 149 and there's 192 in the trade.
Yeah. So it's like, was that 43?
47? Or no, 43, yeah. I'm not mathing right now.
But that's all cover art. And we got people like John Cassaday doing covers, Paolo Rivera, Alex Ross, Art Adams, Adam Hughes.
It might be our biggest back matter.
Neil Adams.
So far.
No, I think
Red Hulk was 24.
That was our biggest before?
Yeah.
No, we've done like ones that have the entire script.
Like this year.
Oh, this year, for sure.
For the Trade Writers Awards.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, this one for sure.
Okay, so that...
But Gabriel Delato, Nick Bradshaw, Eduardo
Rizzo.
They'll
give us, like, the list of the names, but not, like, who did it on the pages themselves?
Yeah, which is a little bit annoying. I think they want you to, like, flip back and forth, but there's some good ones in here.
Oh, wait, no, there's a page.
There's, like, a page number, so, like... it'll say, like, 158, and this is Greg Land, or whatever.
Can you stay on the cover gallery?
Yeah. Show me the ones that you like.
So you can notice the Alex Ross one.
Yep.
Who did 158?
Michael Turner.
Okay. So that's like the trade cover for the one we have at least.
Yeah.
Alex Ross is I think the reprint trade cover.
That'd be a cool one.
Okay. So there's some signatures on here.
Yeah. The kind
of Adams I recognized.
Yep. Adam Hughes does a great cover.
Which one's that?
162.
That is a good one. Who's 163?
Art Adams.
It is? Okay.
Yep.
He just draws like pinups.
Yeah.
There's a cool dragon on that on one, but 165?
J.G. Jones.
Okay. Yeah, I see that signature. That one's pretty good. I'm more like interested in like who it is based on like how recognizable it is, I guess.
Yeah. There's something that you can recognize.
171?
Gabriel Delato.
That one's kind of cool.
Yeah, he's good.
This one?
She.
On.
He or she. Yeah, that one's great. That's probably like one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a cool, cool one. Ooh, John Romita Sr. Yeah. That one's pretty cool.
That's a, you don't see that too often.
Mike Silvestri, I noticed. Very image style.
Yeah.
Philip Tan.
Billy Tan.
Billy Tan.
Yeah.
Oh, Eduardo Risso. Speaking of.
Yep. Just wanted to.
Who's 186?
That is, I don't recognize him, but it's Richard Isanove.
Hmm. God damn, there's so many.
You're almost done.
Okay.
There's a.
And then there's like.
There's a Giuseppe Camimboli.
There's like an interview thing with some pencils. Oh,
yeah, that's true. There's a, yeah, interview thing.
Is Mel Ruby the artist?
Yep.
And then like a sketchbook. Pretty cool sketchbook, actually. A lot more like,
yeah,
detail on some of the designs, kind of make it look more like steampunky.
Yeah, and then he said the editor was like, you shouldn't do that. And he was like, yeah, you're probably right. It'd be too much to draw.
Right.
But pretty cool redesign.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty cool.
So what do you rate this book, Nathan? So I give it like a scoop of strawberry ice cream, but like maybe on like a cake cone. I like a cake cone. There's like things in this that I think are cool and promising for like the Red Sonja lore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gotta be some red, huh?
But I would say like a scoop at like a water and ice or something, you know, where it's like thrifty ice cream, which is kind of like,
oh, okay,
generic ish and nothing really too special.
That's good. Yesterday I went to Costco and Sophie got one of those strawberry sundae things.
Oh, yeah.
They're fine.
Yeah.
I'd rate it that.
Okay.
And it's red, so it works.
Sure, sure.
We didn't eat it all. She threw it away, even though I would have had the rest, but she didn't ask me, so she just threw it away.
That's really weird. You should really establish those kind of boundaries before the wedding.
I was taking bites, you know, so I had like a good amount of it. But then I said, like, you ready to go? And then she threw it away. So I think she assumed that like I was done. And I was like, you know what? I probably shouldn't have had it anymore. So, fine.
All right. So maybe fine. She thinks you shouldn't have had it anymore.
Maybe, yeah. She thinks I got a little bit too much on the hips right now. So
too much junk in the trunk?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
But let's go into our next segment, which is the poll list. Colin.
Shove in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
What the hell's coming out this week?
Short week, small week. What do we got? We got, so Ultimate Spider-Man 19 came out today.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, the only thing I'm picking up is The Missionary number 3.
Cool. I got to read number 2.
I don't know if I think I got 2. There's like a bunch of stuff. Spider-Man versus the Sinister 16. Have you heard of that?
Nope.
That's
We had some news on it, but yeah.
That's the number one that's came out.
That's a lot of people.
That Werewolf by Night book comes out. There's something called Savage Wolverine, which is like one of those like Marvel.
Is it Marvel Knights or scroller is it Marvel Max? Things?
It's like one of those scrolling.
Oh, the Infinite?
Yeah, scrollers? Infinite Scroller thing.
That's cool.
There's DC's Cal-El-fornia Love number one. I don't know.
That's a good title.
Sure. Disney and Marvel, what if? What if Goofy became Spider-Man?
What if?
That Speed Racer from Mad Cave came out.
Mm.
Heavy Metal number 2. I haven't read one. And yeah, you know.
A couple things here and there.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, did you read anything else?
I read a little bit.
Okay, what'd you got?
I'm trying to catch up on Green Lantern, just from what I have. And I couldn't remember where I was, so I reread 2 issues. I picked up one, I was flipping through it, and I was like, this is the last one I read for sure. And so I was reading through it just to make sure I like remembered everything. And then I went to the next issue, which was like issue 22, and I was like, definitely read this issue too. So I guess I got to reread it and make sure I know where I'm at. And then read issue 23, and I'm like, this is good. So pretty much the only new thing I read was Green Lantern issue 23. That's all I was able to fit in because we had a big weekend.
Yeah, but before the weekend, I read The Boys 58.
Nice.
and normally I read like one a day, but I didn't have like a lunch break like normal.
Yeah.
Free time like normal.
Yeah, we were traveling this weekend, so it was a little bit tough.
But what were you gonna say?
In Green Lantern, Gnort comes back.
The squirrel?
The squirrel one.
Nice.
He was in hell for some reason.
I saw a clickbait article about like an axolotl like lantern who's not doesn't have like a ring. I think it's in absolute or something. He doesn't have a ring, but he's like a spirit animal or something. I think he's blue or something. You haven't seen axolotl in any Green Lantern book?
Is he a blue lantern?
I don't, like, he doesn't have a ring.
Okay, but he's blue.
Yeah.
Not that I remember.
Maybe he's not blue. Maybe he's one of the colors.
He could be, like, kind of in the background, because...
Maybe.
I really do like this Green Lantern book, and I'm kind of just impressed about how much he's balancing.
Okay. Because
there's, like, a lot with Green Lantern, you know? And this, like... There's, like, space stuff, and then there's Earth stuff, and there's, like, Hal Jordan, but you also got Kyle Rayner, but you also got some of the other fuckers. And then there's this whole thing where the emotional spectrum is like broken and people are randomly getting like lantern powers.
Yeah.
And so there's like a lot of that to balance. And then also like Green Lantern starting to date Star Sapphire again. But I'm kind of impressed at how he balances it all with like grace.
That's good.
And he still like does fun little stories where Green Lantern goes to hell and finds Gnort there for some reason. You know, like.
Why was Gnort in hell?
He just walked through a magic door and he's like, then I'm here.
He's a sinful squirrel.
He didn't even know he was in hell. He's like, this is hell? So I thought that was kind of funny. So I like it.
Okay.
What'd you read? Or that was all you read was The Boys?
Yeah.
Nice.
Did you watch anything?
Yes, I watched a movie on your to-do list.
On my to-do list?
Yeah, oh, you probably saw it already.
I didn't look at
Letterboxd. Okay. I watched Nope.
There we go.
With Sophie. She did it.
Ooh.
But to be fair, she knew it was like more spooky instead of scary.
Okay.
But really, really good.
Liked it?
Yeah.
That's good.
Really creative idea. And I kind of like how you learn more, you know, kind of about it. I like that I learned some stuff. Some like movie history, I guess.
Yeah.
Because of the jockey on the horse.
Yeah.
I think the performances are really good. Kiki Palmer is great in this.
Yeah.
I forgot that she was in it. And I was like, that's Kiki Palmer. She's good. I like her. And she did great. But yeah, really good, honestly.
Sweet. I'm glad you liked it.
Mm-hmm. Gets really crazy at the end. I just like good alien designs where I just like don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because it's like that and Arrival. There's like crazy alien designs and I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah. I'm like, that's probably what they're like.
Yeah.
I always be looking at weird clouds now. Like that bitch isn't moving.
Yeah. I like, because you could like see the cloud in random shots where like clouds are like slightly moving. You're like, that cloud's not moving. Is that where it is right now? And I like that he frames it that way. Where there's kind of like these wide shots and you're like, is that the cloud? You know, does it look the same every time? I don't know.
I really like that like retro horror thing that they do where like blood is just all over the house.
Oh, it was great.
I was like, hell yeah, dude.
There's a lot of shots where I was like, that looks fucking cool. Because there's points where the alien acts as like an umbrella and it's kind of like over the house.
Yeah.
And you can see the rain coming down from like around it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's shot in the dark a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least technically it was like shot during the day and they put like effects on it to make it look like it was in the night, but it was really convincing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw some behind the scenes stuff on that, like, you know, like a year ago.
The scene like in the like the farmhouse or whatever, the barn.
Yeah,
that scared the fuck out of me.
The fake out of the aliens.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, get the fuck
and
out.
And it's like some little fuckers running around.
Yeah, I was like about to shit myself.
Yeah, they were like kids that pulled a prank and they were wearing like alien stuff.
In the theater, that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, in the theater, I would be like, fuck, dude. And then, the jump scare right there.
Yeah.
There was like a third kid. That was good.
Mm-mm.
I wish there was more Keith David because I think he's awesome.
Keith David is the best.
Yeah, but so it was kind of sad that he's not kind of throughout the movie, but it makes sense.
Dude, there was like a fake story that he died.
Dude.
Like, after this movie came out.
Oh.
And I was like, oh no, the dude from Nope, you know? And then I went on thinking that he was dead for like a year until I saw him.
Like,
and
I said that movie's coming out.
I said that to like Dom or something. He's like, that guy's alive. I'm like, what? And there was like articles about how like it was a fake out or really like it was fake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Holy shit, thank goodness.
I thought he died too because I had started reading an article with his name on it, but he got a Hollywood star.
Yeah.
And I was like, That was recent, but I thought he died. And it was like famous Hollywood actor Keith David, or voice actor or whatever, Keith David. And I'm like, well, no, he's good. He's got a very supportive family, it seems like.
Yeah.
He's great. So, and just like he rules in this for the short time that he's in it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I just kind of like a lot of the messaging about how there's a lot of like cultural erasure that, you know, that happens in Hollywood, and how there's things that'll, the whole industry will eat you up and spit you out kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of cool things there. I think there's a lot of parallels that Jordan Peele pulled off pretty well making this. So it was cool. The only thing I didn't understand is how Steven Yeun knew about the aliens and would like create shows.
He just knew how to fucking...
He did it like a lot, apparently. Because he's got a whole show that he advertised for it, so I don't really understand that. But I like the monkey.
Yeah.
Monkey was scary. And I like the parallel there between the monkey and the alien.
I think that like was based off of something that actually happened.
Yeah. Wasn't it? I mean, it's probably happened a couple times, but like Siegfried and Roy, you know?
I don't know.
That's the magicians with the tiger, and the tiger like... fucked one of them up. So kind of like just the idea of using like wild animals for entertainment value.
Yeah,
pretty cool. Good movie, good recommendation. I rated it 4.5 stars, I think.
Thanks, dog.
If there's more Keith David, it would have been 5.
You got more.
Yep. What'd you watch?
So I started Red Sonja, and then I had like, I just watched it this morning like on YouTube. It's the whole thing's on YouTube.
Cool.
It's like campy. It's kind of fun to just like look at like things that they like were doing in the 80s, you know? Costumes really cool.
Cool.
Red Sonja's got like a mullet.
Wait, so is this the one with Arnold in it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Arnold, that is...
She's got a mullet?
That is most jacked.
Good. Good for him.
Yeah. Acting is like all pretty bad.
Nice.
Sonja's got like a sister in this, and Arnold like finds her, and he's like, like your sister, she's dead or whatever.
Oh no,
shit like that.
Powerful performance.
And Arnold is in it for like 10 minutes, and then he goes to draw away some people chasing them. I'm like, was that fucking it? You know, but he comes back.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that was it. It's not his movie.
Yeah, yeah. And then I guess if you watch a movie on Amazon Prime, it'll just automatically play another movie if you don't switch it fast enough.
Yeah.
And so we were watching like a couple movies, and they just, new ones just start, and we just like wouldn't change it and just would watch them.
You were just obedient?
Kind of, yeah.
To the algorithm feeding you.
Yeah. So slot. One of them was this movie called The Family Stone.
What the hell?
Which is like a Christmas movie. It's got like Sarah Jessica Parker in it. It's got Rachel McAdams. It's got Luke Wilson. It's got...
You watched the Sarah Jessica Parker Christmas movie in July?
Yeah, dude.
Why did Amazon think that you wanted to see that?
I don't know. I was watching because I'm like, there's so many people in this. This would be great from movie to movie.
You're studying.
This movie started out really interesting, like the family dynamic and stuff. Like no one likes Sarah Jessica Parker for like good reason.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie sucked. But I kind of want people to watch it because it's just so weird. Like a lot of the choices are just like odd, you know,
and yeah,
it's like kind of funny because of those choices, you know.
Called The Family Stone.
The Family Stone, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got the dude who plays like Mr. Incredible.
Oh,
but I don't know, just like the connecting actors, I just thought it was strange. I'm like, why does this have like such an insane cast?
Yeah,
you know,
that's funny.
And the dude, the Mr. Incredible dude, this is like the one of the 4 movies on IMDb that he's like known for.
Really?
And I'm like, ooh, that sucks.
Yeah. So 2 of them are Incredibles, probably, and then this one, and then the third one.
Yeah, I guess he's the dad in The Proposal. Like Ryan Reynolds' dad.
He is?
He's the one that like...
The rich dad?
Golfs, yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, and then I watched a movie called Heads of State that automatically came on.
Is it the John Cena one?
Yeah, with Idris Elba.
Yeah.
John's good. John Cena is the president. Idris Elba is like the prime minister of the UK.
He's a president?
Yeah.
Cool.
He plays like a president who's like an actor who became president. You know?
That'd be good.
And it wasn't bad. It was a like a dumb action movie, and
Yeah, but I heard it was like better than what it seems, because it seems like just...
it could have been dog shit, but yeah. It wasn't necessarily dog shit, you know?
It looks like it could have been like Red Notice or whatever that movie was with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was just, I'm just like, why are these guys sound? I know why John Cena signed on to it, but like,
yeah.
It just seemed like a little below Idris Elba.
Yeah.
But it was all right.
Cool.
You know?
Was it about?
I didn't watch like...
Like
I like stepped out of the room for a couple scenes, but it's like the fucking Air Force One was infiltrated and Idris Elba was on it. And so Air Force One like crashed and they had to jump out with like parachutes. And then they have to like, they're assumed dead, but then they're trying to get to like the...
Like a safe house?
Yeah, safe house embassy thing in Poland. And Jack Quaid's in it. Yeah.
Huh.
And yeah, it was like the action stuff was like not bad.
Cool.
And so yeah, they're just trying to get back and trying to figure out how the Air Force One is infiltrated and stuff like that. But yeah, it was bad. I wouldn't recommend it, but it wasn't bad.
Nice.
Then we watched Fantastic Four.
Oh yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I fell asleep for about an hour, but I was like in and out in that hour. I think I got most of the story beats.
Probably didn't miss much.
The first hour, I was like, this rules. But I was just fucking exhausted because we were like at the beach.
We drove all day.
We drove for like 6 hours.
We went to some weird Korean movie theater and there's Korean subtitles. I picked up some Korean.
Makes the movie better, I think.
I think so. That's what their characters look like?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We went to like a Korean mall.
It was funny. I was like 50-50. This is probably in Korean. Like dubbed Korean. And we won't understand
anything. I think with big movies like that, they just don't dub them all.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping.
Yeah.
Because we tried to get into a nice movie theater and it was packed.
You seen the Korean ones? Not nice?
That one was really nice, actually.
Yeah.
Some of the seats were a little bit ripped up, but I was like, this is nice.
Good
sound quality.
It worked. The seats were comfortable enough for me to fall asleep in.
Yeah, true. But I was like, there was like almost no seats taken up. Even Sophie was starting to question me. She's like, are you sure you booked the right movie? Because there was like not a lot of people in there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, not important. I agree. The first hour of the movie is really good. And then it really, really falls off for me. So I didn't think it was like great.
Okay.
But people seem to be loving it, which is good.
Yeah. I mean,
like what you like.
I think I like the vibes of
vibes
like
are good.
The retrofuturism and stuff.
Yeah, that is like perfect.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, you know, it's very like bulky technology and they're like, kind of messing around with it. And I know it's like a different Earth. It's like a Earth 218 or whatever Jack Kirby's birthday is. You told me that fun fact. That was cool.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't care enough about the Fantastic Four to like really know what each character is really supposed to be like.
We've read like 4 Fantastic Four books.
I know, but like not like deep into any of them, really.
Yeah, true.
And like no one really seemed like they fit the character as I knew them, but I still liked these people playing those characters, you know?
Yeah, I'm not like super sold on any of them, but right. I don't think that any of them are bad necessarily. Like I think the Thing was really great in this. I wish he was a little bit bigger, but that's just me. But I like when he wears like a big button up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And or like when he's walking around Yancey Street and he's saying hi to the kids and he acts like he's going to kill him with a car. That's fun. But like, I just feel like they feel like celebrities in this universe.
As they would be.
So I like that aspect of it. But then like, yeah, the character performances, I think Joseph Quinn like does good, but I mainly like that he's not a dumbass. You know what I mean? Because he is an astronaut, so you have to be pretty smart.
Naturally. Right.
He figures out some stuff. Vanessa Kirby, I think, is just great as an actress. But
yeah, she just steals the show just because she's really good.
I think some of the worst parts of it is like kind of the editing and like the pacing of some of it.
Sure.
Because the interesting thing about the movie is kind of just like a big trolley problem about like giving up your kids to feed Galactus and he won't kill everybody on Earth.
Mm.
And there's a part where Mr. Fantastic is like, maybe we should like consider it. Or no, he was saying maybe we could like use our kid as bait to bring in Galactus.
Right.
Spoilers, I guess, for this, but and Invisible Woman gets like really pissed, kind of, and she like turns invisible to like escape the situation. And the very next scene, they're like chill with each other. And I thought there was gonna be more of like kind of friction between them and like their ideas and like this thing that probably is the right thing to do. But she just seems pretty chill about it, like right after that, after she gets mad.
Going invisible is like another level of silent treatment.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Oh my god. And then they could just like jump scare you at any moment.
Yeah.
Out of pettiness. So there's like things like that where it's like we have this problem and I'm like, okay, cool. We got something to resolve, and then they resolve it like really fast and without a whole lot of explanation.
Yeah.
And I hate that. That's what I really didn't like about this and where it started to fall apart.
I didn't like how the thing's lips moved.
I thought it was fine. I didn't notice that at all.
I just kept looking at it.
For some I was just looking at his eyebrows, I think.
Because he looks so practical, you know, but then like his lips are obviously CGI'd, and that was just kind of like distracting for me.
Mm.
And then he has like a beard for some reason.
Yeah, that was interesting. I never thought about that.
I guess that's happened in the comics, but I'm like, does he like fucking sand his face down or something? Like, how does that work?
Yeah.
And he just like added that, and I thought it was weird.
So then like, why doesn't he grow hair? Because Ben Grimm has hair before he turns into a rock.
Right. I don't know.
Imagine the thing with like a mullet.
Be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool. I'm not against the beard. I just thought it was weird. And I didn't know that was an option. Does he have like armpit hair? Does he have pubes? What do the pubes look like?
I don't know. All bushes.
Probably.
That just are made of rock.
It's just mold.
Oh, there's like a bit where like they tried to not tell like the team that they're pregnant.
Oh yeah.
Then they were after like trying for a long time.
Yeah.
That hit me pretty closely. I'm like, oh man, that's good for them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was pretty sweet. They did feel like a family, which I think is really important.
Yeah. You know?
Because the thing is like he clocked her.
Yeah.
Which is really impressive didn't clock. Because they have been trying for years. And if you're just happy one day, it's like, what are you pregnant or something? You know? So yeah, that was nice. I think this movie thinks it's funnier than it is.
Yeah, none of the comic relief hit for me.
Yeah, Joseph Quinn like tries to carry a lot of that, and I think he is pretty good at it, but like just the way what he was given, I don't think is very good.
Yeah.
Not like I want every Marvel movie to be comedy, but when you try, you should at least have it land.
What'd you think about how Galactus looked?
Galactus is like the best part of this.
Yeah, he looks really cool.
He looks really cool in that first scene.
I didn't love the voice necessarily, just because I feel like that actor has a much deeper voice than that.
Yeah, he like nerfed himself.
Yeah,
it was kind of weird. I think he did fine. I think I didn't think anything of the voice because I'm not familiar with that actor. I've seen like interviews of him after the fact, but
yeah, I've seen him in movies.
It didn't distract me at all. I think he's really cool. When they first interact with Galactus, I'm like, this is crazy. You know, I just like things when there's big. If it's real big,
love a big thing.
I love a big thing. I love when like the celestial comes out of the earth, and I'm like, that would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
You know, and so you get kind of so a similar feel. So you
love the Eternals.
I didn't hate it as much as everybody else.
Same, yeah.
I would probably rewatch it once, even.
Mm.
But in this, you know, he's pretty big. I don't know if I love his ship, because it just seems kind of basic.
It was kind of weird.
I just wish he was had big. A ship. I think you make just part of his power.
He just gets big.
When he needs to eat a planet, he gets big.
And he can throw out a planet.
And he could choose to go small to talk to some people if he wants.
And that's walk around New York
solved.
Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Problem solved.
Did you like the Silver Surfer in this?
Yeah, she's cool.
I thought it worked really well.
She's cool, but you don't. She's kind of half-baked, I feel like. You don't really learn that. I mean, you get only a couple scenes with her, and then she has this big moment at the end that doesn't just feel earned to me.
That's
and I was awake the whole movie, so I was like waiting to kind of learn more about her and waiting to see like her regret her decisions a lot.
I think a stoic Silver Surfer works though.
She's pretty stoic, I would say.
Right.
But I just think that last moment where she sacrifices herself to stop Galactus, it was kind of like weak to me.
But like the first time she pops up, she's pretty like intimidating.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. She's intimidating when she's fighting the whole ship and stuff. She's really intimidating. That action scene where they're trying to escape her. And they're like in the wormhole thing. They're shooting lasers. The lasers are getting curved.
She gets like sucked up into this black hole and then just pops up later.
Yeah, black holes don't fucking mean anything, I guess.
And then the final fight, they somehow get like trick Galactus into being knocked into a black hole that's there for some reason.
Yeah, I think they.
And I'm like, it's not like a final end for him. He's just somewhere else for a second.
We're good for another month, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's going to get around because he doesn't have a ship with him, so maybe it'll take longer.
Maybe he can fly or something.
Yeah, but I just think that last scene, or the last fight, one, bro can't stretch that far.
Did you like the stretching, though?
Stretching seemed fine to me. I was never bothered by it. People seem to have a I don't know, a big stigma about it.
No one seems to ever like how it's done, but I'm like, I get
it.
I
want to be as fucking stretched out as possible, you know?
Yeah.
Like, imagine, because he doesn't really do much. He, like, gets the baby, which is an important part of this plan. But imagine, like, he gets the baby, puts him down somewhere, and then he stretches and becomes, like, a blindfold around Galactus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would seem pretty beneficial. But when you're trying to make this dude who can eat planets get pushed around by, like, somebody that locks in a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is
kind of four, like, people, essentially.
Four people, yeah. And, like, it's really just one person. You know what I mean? Because there's a part where the thing is coming down from, like, space, and he, like, knocks into him, and it kind of, like, knocks him over, like, a little bit. But I feel like the timing of that would have been better if Invisible Woman is pushing her, and then he gets, like, kind of knocked from that move.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like the scene itself could have been a little bit better, and it makes him seem a bit weak.
Right.
Even though it, you know, took everything out of Invisible Woman to do that, and it, like, killed her. I don't know. It didn't land for me, necessarily.
I thought it was cool that, like, Franklin, we see, like, a hint of, like, his power, mm-hmm. in a way. Like, he's able to, like, figure out that, like, his mom's not moving and isn't alive, and he's able to just...
Yeah, that's cool. I like.
He just, like, wants her alive, so then she is. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think that part's pretty good. I like when he is born. Like, that scene is, like, kind of tense. Like, that's where I think that last... Pretty much the scene where he's born is, like, kind of where I stopped liking the movie, because everything after that was a little bit weak for me, but I like the scene.
I think that's when I fell asleep, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, after they get back or whatever.
But there's, like, random scenes where, like, the thing's carrying him. Like, everybody helps, and I like that. I think it's funny.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Because that's, like, how it'd be, you know?
Yeah. Like, your family's kind of helping out, supporting. Last thing, I guess, for me, that just...
The after credit scene?
No, that did suck, too.
Yeah.
People, I guess, liked it, but I didn't. But the thing that... A big part of this movie is they're going to use the teleportation technology that they kind of have figured out, and they're going to move the Earth somewhere else. So in the span of what seems like just a couple weeks, they built a bunch of these teleporters everywhere, and people are, like, conserving power and stuff. And so they put a lot of focus into this idea for it to just kind of get trashed. And so I'm like, we just kind of wasted, like, 30 minutes of this movie.
I mean, they didn't know it was going to be trashed.
I know that they didn't know, but I'm just like, okay, well, there goes that.
Yeah, the server just, like, flies through all the little...
Yeah,
towers that they
which
have.
Is, like, pretty devastating, but I'm also like, this is definitely a different Earth, because there's no way we'd be able to coordinate all
but
that.
But that seems like a retro Fantastic Four idea.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I think is all they could really go for.
Yeah, some, like, campy tech sort of plan.
So in the after credit scene,
we get
Franklin, he's reading fancy books, like, I don't know.
Some shit by
Love and Peace or something, yeah. Or War and Peace. I don't know what it is. Fancy books, because he's smart and a baby.
Yep.
And
4 years old at that moment.
Oh, really? Okay. And so he turns around and Doom is playing with him. Nope. He's got his mask off.
Nope. Some dude in a green cloak is there. We don't see RDJ.
But with a Doom mask. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's big implications for what they'll probably do with that.
It seems like they filmed that in, like, 30 minutes, you know?
They did.
Right. Yeah, and so it's like
they went to Party City and got a Doom cloak.
Yeah. Like, it nothing
and the
about
mask seems kind of weak too.
Yeah, not that strong. I mean, there's plenty of time to tweak that.
Sure.
Because Thanos doesn't look like he looked in, like, any of, like, his after credit scenes, you know?
Yeah.
So it's whatever. They were gonna do some sort of Doom thing eventually. So we'll just see how that pans out.
Mm-hmm.
So is it, like, a good step for Marvel?
Good first step, I would say.
Well, wouldn't, like, Thunderbolts be, like, a good first step? Oh, are you doing a pun on, like,
the
quotation
movie.
Okay,
but thinking about your question, what do you mean a first step?
Not like first step, but like a step in the right direction as far as just kind of,
yeah, this is better than, like, the last couple other than Thunderbolts.
Yeah,
I like Thunderbolts more. Hated Captain America before this. Like, it's probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Whoa, really?
It felt like the biggest waste of time.
Sure.
And I didn't like it.
Okay.
But this is, like, it's good.
Yeah. I'm gonna...
I just won't ever watch it again.
Sarah doesn't know that I watched it. And so, when we were gone, she's gonna go see it without me. But she didn't.
Wow, what a good partner.
Yeah, I know. You got to take what you can get.
So you're going to go watch it again?
Yeah, because I didn't actually watch it, the whole thing, you know?
That's true.
I'm sure I'll watch it and be like, okay, yeah, I got all this, you know?
I'll be interested to see if you change your opinion, because...
Oh, Mole Man's in it.
Briefly, yeah.
Paul Walter Hauser?
I don't know who that is.
He's a good actor. He's in stuff that's good. He's cool. In, like, Black Klansman. He's in the show called Blackbird. That was really good.
Mm.
He's like an up-and-comer.
Cool. I've seen Black Klansman. I like that movie.
Yeah. So.
Well, let me know how it is on rewatch, because right now it's like... I just thought it felt messy by the end. I really like the first hour.
What'd you rate it?
Like 2.
2 out of 5.
Yeah.
So you give it like a 4, essentially?
Yeah.
Hmm. And the 4 is just like... Just kind of vibes feels, and how it looks, I guess.
What's good about it is like the first hour, and then it really falls off, you know? So you they kept like a little bit of that 5.
Because half of it was good.
What's 5? 2.5?
2.5, yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll change it to 2.5. But it feels bad because I rate like some movies 3, where I'm like, that was good. You know, I'll probably never watch it again, but it was fine. And sure. This doesn't feel close to that.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I'll let you know.
What are we gonna read next week?
Cool.
So what are we gonna read next week, Nathan?
Do we have anything on the books?
Peacemaker, season 2.
Ooh, yeah. That's coming out.
We could read a Peacemaker book.
There's a couple of them.
It really isn't.
Not really, yeah. Some recently.
I think last time Peacemaker came out, we read a Suicide Squad book that had Peacemaker in it.
Yeah, that wasn't that great.
There is a recent one that came out. It's called Peacemaker Tries Hard.
Is that the Garth Ennis one?
Not Garth Ennis. Garth Ennis did like something called Keeping the Peace or something, and it was a one-shot.
Oh, okay.
So,
do you think Tries Hard is any good?
I read the number one, and I didn't continue with it, but it seemed like they were really going for like the show vibe.
Yeah.
But it could definitely turn around, I guess. Do you just want to do that? Because it's something recent and
yeah,
something Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Unless you can find another Peacemaker thing.
He's in the Absolute Superman. But those are Peacemakers.
Oh, yeah. We're not doing that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, let's just do the new one.
Yeah. 6 issues. It's probably somewhere we can read it.
Yeah. Because otherwise we're doing this one from like what looks like the 90s.
Yeah. I'm not really feeling old.
Okay.
I'm feeling old, but not feeling reading old stuff.
Yeah, true. This one's like 4.
2023, it's on Comixology Unlimited.
Let's go, we're doing that.
Kyle Starks?
Yeah, he does stuff.
He does do things.
Yeah. So I'm down for that. Peacemaker Tries Hard.
Steve Pugh on art.
He does some stuff.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yep.
All right, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Let us know... Do you like Red Sonja?
Do you like Fantastic Four? Would you say it's pretty good?
Pretty good.
Awesome.
Let us know a good amazing. Red Sonja run if we ever come back to Red Sonja.
Yeah, this can't be it.
It probably isn't. It's just...
It's probably like a top 5.
It's just the beginning of something. This?
Yeah, probably.
I can't imagine... I don't know. Dynamite stuff is just kind of hit or miss as far as like, I guess, quality. You know, it's just so many random properties that are just made into comics, you know? So. Yeah.
Tells us there's a better one, even if there's a bunch of lore or whatever. If you're like right in the middle of it, I don't care. I just want to read a good one.
I think I could get over like being
lost
in some lore if it's like a good story.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. But
because we just got to know Battle Lady, you know?
True.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Link tree in the bio. Email at tradeversepod@gmail.com.
All righty.
And goodbye.
Peace.
Maker.